night youth service, or as we will call this day for a long time, the roast of Uncle B. Uncle B just called me and said, by the way, didn't he actually absolutely bring the house down this morning? I mean, absolutely. I love him. I saw him after the service. I said, if I'm following, can't you just bomb one time? You know, I mean, just one time. I want you to serve the Lord and do the best you can, but I want you to just bomb one time. You know, just give me one chance to not look like an absolute clown up here. And he did not live up to his end of that bargain. So anyway, until he gets here, he said he called me about 3 minutes ago and said, I am 4 minutes out. He said, if you will just help me out. He said, just welcome them. Tell them, you know, I'm on my way. And so what I want to do is, in light of his story this morning, right? Didn't you enjoy that? As I recall, he said that Uncle CJ screamed like a woman. So I'm just going to tell some great stories about Uncle B. Some of them involve a 15-passenger van, donuts, and an unnamed cul-de-sac, right? That's funny. You can laugh. That was hilarious. It was absolutely awesome. And so anyway, without further ado, let's welcome the late gentleman himself. No, but truly, I love the man. But welcome. We're going to have a great service tonight. Uncle Brian and crew are going to come up, and they're going to serenade us tonight. Yes, sir.
All right, Junior Jubilee, come on up here real quick. Let's do it. This morning, you guys did a great job jumping in, so I hope that you'll do that with us as well. We'll do King of the Jungle, and then we'll have to sit on the thing for Amen, Brother. That'll get you really involved. You ready? Here we go. Who is the king of the jungle? Who is the king of the sea? Who is the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I tell you.
J-E-S-U-S. Jesus.
He is the king of me. He is the king of the universe, the jungle, and the sea. Bobble, bobble, bobble. Ooh, ooh. Now listen, I didn't see a single bobble, bobble. Listen, some of the kids back there, y'all grew up singing that in VBS. We're going to go there that one more time. Can you try to give me a ooh, ooh? I'm watching your mouth, Brother Justin. I want to hear it. Who is the king of the jungle? Who is the king of the sea? Bobble, bobble, bobble. Who is the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I tell you, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. He is the king of me. He is the king of the universe, the jungle, and the sea. Bobble, bobble, bobble. Ooh, ooh. Now, Miss Darlene, if you let me get all the girls on this side and the guys on this side, here we go. Have a seat on the steps real quick. And this song is called Amen, Brother. And if you've never seen it done, we'll go through it one time, then twice with you guys, right? So the kids really get into this. And Brantley, when during Junior Jubilee, he would literally see a vein in his neck. He'd be screaming so hard. So I hope you guys can sing it loud and proud. And at the end of the chorus, we say, Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Amen, brother. Amen. And then the girliest noise you've ever heard. Just jump in with me, right? I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. He has changed all my behavior. Amen, brother. Amen. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. Now, you guys forgot to stand up. Come on, amen, brother. You got to stand up. But I did hear Brantley sing it. You ready? Here we go. So, men, would you stand up with these guys on amen, brother? And then amen, sister. We'll see. We'll go through it till you guys get it. You ready? I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. He has changed all my behavior. Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen, brother.
I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. One more time. Watch Brantley. That's awesome. Here we go. I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. He has changed all my behavior. Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen, brother.
I have found a wonderful Savior. Amen, brother. Amen. Cute, funny second verse. I like soap and I like water. Amen, brother. Amen. Makes me smell just like I oughta. Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen.
I like soap and I like water. Amen, brother. Amen. You should hear that in that small Junior Jubilee room. God bless you.
His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born in His Spirit, washed in His blood. What He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. So this is my story. trusting guide, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. Trust in God.
Good evening. We hope you enjoyed this morning's youth service. Tonight, Brother CJ will be preaching. Please remember those on our prayer list. We have a lot of sick and hurting people. Dolores and Leonard Palmer, he is going to be undergoing a 5-week medicine trial, which will involve a lot of travel. Please remember Connie Teague and Jim Daly as they are recovering from surgery. Diane Ely is undergoing infection treatments. Miss Claudia Darby is very sick and needs our prayers. Brother Justin's grandmother, Miss Barbara Furr, she will be having back surgery soon. And Miss Glenda Henderson is having an eye surgery this week. Nancy McGlinden's niece, Allison, is in the hospital with COVID. Our own Jennifer from the children's home is also recovering from major surgery in Jacksonville. Please remember her. Brother Justin, will you pray for us?
Dear Lord, thank you tonight for the group that we have. We're able to assemble ourselves together. Lord, and it's not in vain. When we come to lift you up, we come, Lord, to share the gospel, teach the word, preach the word. Father, as a result of that, we want to be encouraged, and we are encouraged like we were.
finally see you face to face, and nothing then will separate. I believe I'll join with every tribe and tongue and bow before the Lamb of God, singing holy, holy, holy one. I believe.
Set those right there. I'll pray over the offering, and then if y'all will bring him at the end of service, that I think is going to be the easiest way to do that. Lord God, we do love you. We thank you that you are a great provider. God, we thank you that for many, many, many years, God, before anybody, most of the people in this room were alive, Lord, you were providing for this church. We thank you for that. We ask you to continue that. We do bring this offering before you and ask you to provide it for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. We're going to pass the plates. If you've got your Bible, if you want to turn over with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 17, Luke chapter 12, we'll get there in just a minute. First of all, I want to start by saying I thank my family for coming out to support me tonight. It's okay. I had a childhood that prepared me for this, so this is no shock that my family would abandon me. We're good. No, I say that in jest. They're across the state and at different churches and different baseball fields and everything, so hopefully she's too busy to see that online tonight. If you never hear from me again, this is the moment that caused that. But anyway, I am thankful for my family. They are loving and supportive, and they're absolutely awesome. So I'm thankful for them. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of people in my life I'm thankful for who were there long before my family was. And I have my brother's Bible, and I'm thankful for that because there's notes in here, and you ever find an old family picture that has, you flip it on the back and you see a date on it? You know, I remember growing up, people would be like, oh, this was 10 years ago, and I thought, sheesh, people were alive then? Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, that was like, oh my gosh, that was when dogs was puppies. That was so long ago. How could you possibly? And I got an invitation this year to my 20th high school reunion. I had to sit down a minute. I mean, it was a real problem for me. I was like, this is not cool. I ran into a friend. He was like, are you going to the reunion? I said, no. I didn't want to see him then. I don't want to see him now. So there's about five people I want to see. I've got their phone numbers. We'll go to O'Charlie's and we'll call it good. But anyway, time has a funny way of catching up with you. And in my brother's Bible here, there are some dated notes in here from 1999. Yeah, they had Bibles back then, youth group. They did. We already had it. It was wild. But there's notes in here from 2000. And I found a devotion by Uncle Ben dated either 1999 or 2000. And it said, do you talk to yourself? And I was like, of all the psychotropic things I went through as a child, I don't think I ever had multiple personalities. So no, Uncle Ben, I was not talking to myself. And I remember it was my brother's Bible. So I was like, maybe. You know, there's a chance. He had some wild things going on. But he asked the question, do you talk to yourself? And I do talk to myself now as an adult. When you spend, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week by yourself on a lawnmower, you have to do something to keep yourself sane, right? And so I do. I sing to myself. It's kind of like, sometimes I try to harmonize with the people I'm listening to. It sounds almost as good as Lily and them, except not. Like, if you could imagine a bull going through, like, a questionable science experiment, it sounds something like that. There's some goat in there. I'm not sure what all is going on, but it's not pleasant, I'm sure. And I've even found myself, I listen to a lot of preaching, believe it or not, while I'm mowing as well. And one day I was crying while I was mowing grass. I go, amen. And I thought, if anybody sees me, they're going to call somebody and be like, you got to get this guy. I don't know what's going on, but you have to come get him out of my yard. CJ, never come here again. But anyway, evidently they didn't see me, so we're good. But I do talk to myself rather often, and you know, you learn a lot about yourself when you're talking without an audience. Have you noticed? Maybe I'm the only one who had this experience growing up, but I annoyed a lot of adults, right? And I can remember more than one adult in my life getting on to me, and the phone would ring. Aunt Melita, I don't want to embarrass you, but I remember one time in particular, we were discussing a report card of mine. It wasn't so much the bad grades that were on it, that was to be expected, but the fact that I had hidden it for 3 weeks was a problem. And so we were discussing that at length. Discussing's the wrong word. I was in trouble, right? She was doing the discussing, I was doing the listening. And the phone rang, and I thought, oh boy, we're fixing to lose a sponsor at the children's home. Depending on who this person is, this is Aunt Melita is a little too fired up to be on the phone right now. And this lady who had just been giving me the business became an angel and goes, Calvary Children's Home, this is Melita. It's not safe in here. You know, I tried to hide. She grabbed my arm. Yeah, we would love to talk to you about that. Anyway, it was a wild experience. But depending on who our audience is, our voice changes, right? The whole conversation, it wildly changes. You know, Amanda actually called this out to me early in my life. And not in my life. She wasn't there then. That'd be weird. But early in our relationship, she said, CJ, something I don't like about you, she said, you change a little bit based on who's around. She said, I don't like the version of you that is there when this friend hangs out. And, of course, I said to her, because I'm very mature. But then when she walked away, I had to go, there's some truth to that. And so I'm thankful that she loves me enough to have those tough conversations. But she did. She said, no, I like the version of you when this person is around. I like the version of, but she said, I don't, when that person's around, the things you say changes. The stories you tell, they take a different tone. And she said, I just don't like that. And so we do. We have a tendency to change based on who's around us. If I can get a good laugh out of somebody and my wife's not in the room, I'm willing to throw her under the bus, right? It's not good for me, but I'm willing. And my father-in-law is not here tonight. He's going to regret that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that's the truth, right? We change based on who's around us, but when there's nobody around, things take a totally different change, right? I remember I was telling Uncle Ben something one time, and I was telling him this story about what had happened at school, and he quit talking and just let me talk a while. And finally he goes, son, which one of us are you trying to convince? I did the same spiritual I gave to Amanda later in life. It was a learned behavior. But again, I remember him asking, when there's no one else but us, that tone changes, right? I remember recently we did the 24 hours of prayer, and I was around when we did those before, but I was just old enough to sign up and then not show up and then probably throw the whole thing off kilter. So I don't know, maybe things are my fault sometimes. But anyway, this year I got to do it, and I showed up. I didn't sign up the first week intentionally because I thought I'll let everyone else take the times they want, and then on the second week I'll take the least desirable hour slot available. Bad decision. I ended up over here at like 3 or 4 in the morning on a Saturday. So this year, I'm signing up first. I'm going to take like 7 p.m. That way, you know, I'm gone for bath time. This is very self-serving. We could work this out. But I remember sitting over here at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Forgive me, I don't remember exactly what time it was. And praying, and it was a little different experience, right? I pray at home often, usually for forgiveness for things Amanda has done. But, you know, I do. I pray at home a lot. I pray on the mower. But there's something different about being in here. Luckily, Brother Randy had some pretty music playing, and it was a very serene, peaceful place to be. But my audience was gone, right? Tonight I get to make you giggle, and that brings joy to me. But when it was just me and God here at 3 a.m., and some eerie footsteps, but that's another story for another day. When it was just me and God here at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, all the humor was gone. Right, all of a sudden it took on a different seriousness, and all of a sudden I found myself talking to a holy God at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning And it was just a radically different experience. When all of the other stuff is taken away, things change for the better, or perhaps for the not so better. But the truth is that they reveal some things about us, right? And so I've just got a couple of things. I know you were really hoping to be here till like 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. Probably not the week for that. I do apologize. I know you've got laundry at home that you just don't want to go do. You want to sit here and watch me perform, and, you know, I'm sorry. We're not going to be here all night tonight. But the first thing I've noticed is that our language, well, first of all, I guess let's get to our verses, right? So it's Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 16. It says, "And he spake," playing the part of he tonight will be Jesus, "and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God," aren't those some, those are always interesting words in the Word of God. It says, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This guy had an interesting experience, right? He's going, man, I've got, if this were modern days, he'd be going, I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with all of it. What am I going to do with all this money? Not a problem I'm familiar with, right? I'm willing to help you if you've got more than you need. You know, Lord's blessed us. We don't need nothing, but, I mean, I could use a new boat, you know, and some gas money for it, I suppose. That's going to be a problem. The thing's as expensive. But this guy's saying, I've got more than I know what to do with, and he began to say to himself, right? This is the verse Uncle Ben had listed. This guy's talking to himself, and the first thing I notice about this is the language. And by the way, I noticed this because in 1999, yeah, we had Bibles and markers back then. He had us notice the language. He said, I. Everything is me. Have you ever noticed that the more me's you use in a conversation, the more trouble you're in? Boy, me. What am I going to do with myself? Where am I going to put all my things? And man alive, what a miserable way to live. What an absolutely miserable way to live. Do you know anybody in the world who's accumulated enough stuff to be happy? I don't know very many, right? I know some people who are retired and are no longer, you know, conscientiously out there trying to get every dime, and I love that for those people. But I can tell you that there's no such thing as enough money where you say, I'm good, I don't have to worry anymore. I'm going to spend the rest of my life on a cruise and just hang out, right? It's just, there's just not enough. Our desires can't be fulfilled, right? You just can't. You can't make enough money to make you can make enough money to make yourself comfortable, right? Someone said the other day, you know, it's lonely at the top, but there's more to eat. You're eating by yourself, it might not be worth it, right? It might not be worth the cost to get there. But it's just interesting that he says, me, my, I. And then God says, you fool. Thou fool, you're worried so much about all of this stuff, and you're not even going to be around to enjoy it. Can I be honest with you? Can I be a little more honest than I want to be? Right now I'm making more money and having more success in my business than I've ever had, right? Don't get excited. The bar was low, right? We ain't getting rich over here at the Martin household. But, I mean, by outside looking in, boy, things are good financially. You know whose shoes I'm wearing? Carter's. Because Daddy ain't got money for new shoes for himself, but somehow or another, Carter's got a new baseball bat and new church shoes. I'm like, he can't use them both? Daddy can't get new shoes? Anyway, apparently not. They're also a little too big, which hurt my feelings a little bit. So, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. It goes on in this chapter to say, hey, who by worrying can make themselves taller? that hurt my feelings too, because the other day Carter and I were standing somewhere and some jerk, I mean friend of mine, said, oh, it finally happened, Dad. He's taller. I said, he ain't taller. He just needs a haircut. And I resisted the urge, and I had to shave his head in his sleep, mainly for fear of his mother, but for other reasons as well. But anyway, I don't know why we chased down that rabbit, but it happens. But anyway, other than to say that when you find yourself talking to yourself, study what you're saying. Just listen to yourself. I've been big lately on this thing of introspection. I couldn't spell it, but I'm getting better and better at it, right? When Amanda and I have a disagreement, it's always her fault, right? I mean, that's just the case. No, not one of you believed that for one second. Every one of you are like, oh, he's lying in the pulpit. We're going to watch him die tonight. No, listen, the truth is, right, I have discovered that if I will look at our conversation and go, okay, what part of this is mine? What can I fix? Right, then things tend to get better, right? This morning, Uncle Brian, you don't know how much you blessed my heart. He said, my favorite place to be is wherever Melita is. And I thought, Amanda's favorite place to be is wherever CJ isn't. It would apparently, including when he's preaching, but anyway, y'all don't have to tell her I said that. No, because I think she has a radar on her phone. It's like, hey, CJ's mocking you. It will immediately, her phone's lighting up as we speak. These are jokes, baby. I love you. If anyone has a spare couch, I'll see you this evening. But listen to yourself. When you find yourself with no one else listening, right? When you're praying at 3 a.m. when there's no one else who can hear you, ask God, say, God, would you help me to listen to what I'm saying? Would you help me to catch my language? By the way, you know what's funny? I have a friend who I had this conversation with recently he said, listen, cussing's not a big deal. He said, cussing's just not a big deal. He said, you know, God's not looking down from heaven saying, you know, in English you can't use these words, and in Spanish you can't use these words, and if you're in German you can't use. He goes, man, God cares about your heart. God cares about, you know, about how you feel. And I said, well, that's a way to look at it. I said, but what about Peter? What are we going to do with him? I said, because, you know, Peter denied Christ 3 times, and people didn't believe him. So he had to do something to up the ante, to really show people, hey, look, I'm really not with him. And what did he choose to do to prove that he was not with Christ? He swore. So I don't know. You do with that what you need to, but it bothered me. You know, it hurt my feelings pretty good. But language does matter. What about subject matter? Right? Again, you know, our lives are so busy. If you find me any given day, I'm probably talking about Carter playing baseball. I'm probably talking about Jackson playing music. Probably talking about Gracie and Charlie playing my wallet. That's their favorite game. They just, you know, anywhere, concession stands, gymnastics, dance, it's unbelievable. They are the most expensive humans on planet Earth, and I love you both, just in case they were watching. But no, it's unbelievable, right? I'm probably going to be talking about one of those 4 kids because I love them and they're precious to me, right? But what about when we're not talking about them? I love Uncle Snyder said one time, he said that he and Aunt Marcia had gone to dinner, and they said, we're not talking about that children's home tonight. We're not talking about those kids tonight, and we're not talking about any problems tonight. We're going to go to dinner, and we're just going to enjoy ourselves. He said they sat in silence for 45 minutes. I wasn't there. I don't know if it's true or not, but he told the story, and I could see that being true for sure. But what do you find yourself talking about? What consumes your conversation? What really matters to you? Again, what are you thinking about when it's just you? What about in your prayer life? Right, when you're sitting there at 3 a.m. and it's just you and God, is it the same sin that comes up over and over and over again? Every time you pray, are you saying, God, forgive me for this? God, forgive me for this thing again. God, forgive me for coming back to that sin again. I know better, but God, would you forgive me for that? Maybe it's time that we go to God before it becomes a problem and say, God, would you help me to be honest with you and say that this is a problem? Again, we're talking about in the privacy of a conversation with none less than God himself. Maybe it would be wise for us to say, God, I need help with this. God, would you help me to be honest about this? I love that the preacher who said, let's call sin by name. right? Maybe not in front of your church. It's probably not the place to be like, Lord, would you help me deal with this fornication? You know, probably not going to go well. But, it, you know, that was way funnier than y'all give me credit for. That was amazing material. It's just, anyway, maybe it's the ADD in me. I don't know. But what subjects are constantly coming up? Is it even in your prayer life? Is it, God, would you help me to get this promotion? God, would you help me to get this opportunity? Would you help me to get this great thing? Have you ever discovered that there's, I don't know, maybe it is just me, but I can think of probably 10 things over the course of my life that I thought, boy, when I get this, I'm going to be lit. I'm going to have it whooped. I'll be good. I remember about 6 months before I was married thinking, when I'm married, I will never sin again. I'm going to be great. I will never lust again. I will never have another problem with sin in the rest of my life. I'm going to be set. False. Right? Not the lust stuff, but speeding, and it turns out there's a million other things that the devil will throw out there your way. And so, but I legitimately thought, you know, when I'm married, I'm going to have it whooped. I'm going to have everything good to go. Turned out that was not true, right? I remember there was a guitar I wanted. It's a Martin HD28. They started about $3,000. And I thought, boy, I want me one of those. If I can get me a Martin HD28, I'm going to have it licked. And Amanda, if you were to say Martin HD28 right now, she might throw up. She got so sick of hearing about it. And I was blessed enough to get one. And guess what? That didn't solve all the problems in my life. I needed a fly rod. This was about 10 years ago. Me and Jerriman, my dad, we decided we were going to be fly fishermen. I don't know what struck it. I don't know if we saw a video or a DVD of fly fishing. I don't know. Maybe we saw Chuck Week somewhere and he was talking about fly fishing. I have no idea. But somehow or another, fly fishing came up and I said, oh, that's what we need. We need fly rods. This was in about June. Come December, Amanda and my mom were sick and tired of hearing about fly rods. So guess what we got for Christmas? We got fly rods. They were nice. They came from the Kmart. They were in these plastic wrap things. I mean, they were nice. And they're still in them. And that was, I'm not exaggerating, I think 10 years ago. And so it turns out that wasn't what it was going to be either. But can I tell you something that I chased everyone one time that did fulfill me? I remember one time realizing I had a sin problem. I remember realizing one time that I was going to die and go to hell without this man named Jesus and turning my life over to him. And can I tell you that worked out pretty well for me? Did it solve every problem in my life? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, it created some, but it definitely answered all of the real problems I had in my life. And having that eternal security and knowing that, you know what, I might wreck some things in my life before it's over with. This video might be one of them if it reaches my wife. I mean, I just got an amen from Chuck. He didn't say it out loud, but his head goes, yes, you're deep, my man. You are in a real, but I'm thankful for a God who loves me and who, you know, those conversations that you think, oh, nobody else can hear them. I'm thankful that he does. Sir. I'm thankful that he does. I'm thankful that he loves us. The last thing that I've noticed is that when there's no one else but you and God, right, and it's just CJ and that lawnmower out there, you know what I've discovered? Truth isn't hard to come by. When there's no one else listening but me and God, truth just isn't that hard to come by. Because he already knows, right? He already knows the answer. And so I know there's no reason to try to pull the wool over his eyes, right? I told you about that conversation with Uncle Ben where he said, which one of us are you trying to fool? You know, I'm just smart enough to know that God has all the answers, right? He's got the whole playbook. And by the way, he's not shocked when things in my life happen. They don't disappoint him. Well, they do for sure, but he knew long ago that they were going to happen, right? So he's not stunned. He's not shocked. He's not throwing the clay away. He still loves me. He still has a great plan for my life. And I'm thankful that when it's just me and him, right, again, sitting here, me, him, and Casper, or whoever those footsteps were, right, we're here chilling. I'm thankful that there's an honesty that I can give to God, right? I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be like, oh, Lord, I got something to tell you. Right, there's been two times in my life where someone said, hey, are you, I remember Uncle Brian called me one time and said, hey, are you sitting down? I said, I'm driving. He said, pull over. Right, he said, and I thought, oh no. And it was worse than I possibly thought. It was the day Thomas Roberts was killed in a car wreck. Right, there was another time in my life I was told, pull over. And I'm thankful that I don't have to say to God, God, I need you to pull the car over for just a minute. God, I need you to put the rest of the world on hold and help me for just a minute. God, I need your full attention. I'm thankful that when I bow my head, he loves me and I have his full attention instantly. And I'm thankful that he doesn't look for problems. He helps me look for solutions. Right? I was in a conversation with someone this week and they presented a problem to me. And every time I had a solution, they had a problem for it. And someone else in the room said, are we looking for problems or are we looking for solutions? Right? And I'm thankful for that moment. And I'm gonna use that. I can't give credit to who it was, but anyway, I'm thankful for that. And that took a weird turn. It was my son. Anyway, I just wanted you to think I was smarter, but it was just Jackson. But anyway, Jackson said, are we looking for problems or are we looking for solutions? And he has no idea the spiritual impact that had on me in that moment. And I'm thankful that I have a God who looks at me and says, okay, I've got all the problems. I've got all the problems. Let's work on some solutions. And I'm thankful that I can be honest with him. Let's turn over to Psalm 51. We're going to look at somebody else who was no stranger to problems. In fact, he had just come up with a pretty good doozy himself, right? We're talking about David. Some people believe that this was written right after his time with Bathsheba. I'm not a scholar. I can't swear if that's true or not, but that's what I have been told, what some theologians believe. But we're going to, Psalm chapter 51, we're going to start in verse 9. The whole chapter is interesting. If you want to go back and study it and read it, I would recommend you do. But for sake of time, we're going to start in verse 9. It says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I love that he said the joy of thy salvation, not my salvation, but the salvation that he provides for us. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of the righteousness. And this is the verse that's interesting to me. Verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So I've got a recommendation for you. The next time you find yourself talking to yourself, right? I have a friend whose father would yell at himself in the shower, and he told me about that, and I just can't get it out of my mind. He would scream at himself in the shower and say, you're a loser! You're an idiot! And I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life where I've thought that about myself. Like, dude, what are you doing? Tonight might be one of them if my sweet bride listens to this video, right? But I'm thankful that when those moments come, I don't have a God who says, you are an idiot. You don't deserve her. You don't deserve those kids. You don't deserve the life you've had, right? You don't deserve any of this. I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me enough. He says, hey, I want to forgive you. I want to be restored to a right relationship with you, right? I want to make things right between us. I don't want this brokenness in our relationship. I want peace with you, right? And I'm thankful for a God who has that kind of love for us, and I'm thankful for the example we have from David, who says, Lord, we're not going to beat around the bush. I'm just going to come to you and beg you to forgive me, right? I'm just going to beg you to forgive me, and I'm going to open my lips, and I'm just going to start praising you. Lord, instead of telling you all the stupid things I've done, Lord, I'm just going to start thanking you for the things in my life. You ever have your spouse come in the door and say, you're not going to believe what happened today? I've never experienced. That's a lie. I don't like experiencing that, right? That's not a good way to greet your spouse, by the way, if you're wondering. You're just to tell, you're this person did that, and then this person did that, and then this did that. What if instead you walked in the door and said, I'm thankful to be here, right? But we do the same thing to God. We walk in the door and we go, dadgummit, it's Sunday morning. I'm here for choir practice. Let's get this over with. I've got a ball game. The NASCAR is going to be on this afternoon. If he preaches for 10 more minutes, I'm going to miss it. You know, I'm going to miss whoever sings the national anthem on there. Right? Now, if it's Carrie Underwood, I understand. Get to the house and watch her. I mean, some things are important. I get it. But listen, what if instead we walked into the door and said, God, I'm so thankful for the week you've blessed me with. I'm so thankful for a heart that beats. I'm so thankful for a family that held my hand and walked in the door this morning. Right? I'm so thankful that I have a church who loves me and people who are glad to see me and Brother Don who made the coffee. Right? I'm so thankful that we have air conditioning, we have lights, we've got sound, we've got all this stuff. We've got a remarkably mediocre preacher here tonight. Things are going good. God, we thank you. What if we came in with that attitude instead of walking in going, it's 6:02, I should be home by now. Oh, he's sitting. He's going to be there a while. He's a big back. It takes him a minute to get up. That's the first time the youth group's laughed all night. Hurts my heart. They labeled me the D1 big back. That's Division I, in case you were wondering. And some of them have suggested I may be going pro in the next 2 or 3 years. And that was accurate but hurtful, which I'm going to get written on T-shirts, accurate but hurtful. But anyway, my prayer is that we would have hearts that say, God, we're going to chase after you. Lord, when we find ourselves talking to ourselves, as a matter of fact, God, I'm gonna schedule some time with you tomorrow morning instead of listening to Honky Tonk Badonky Donk as I go into work. There's three sinners in the room. I heard you giggling. In the morning, I'm gonna schedule some time alone with you. I'm gonna turn the radio off. Right, even if it's the Joy FM, I'm going to turn that one off too. And God, I'm just going to give you some time from just me and you to talk a minute. Imagine how much differently your week would go if we scheduled some time alone with God and say, God, I'm desperate to hear from you. I'm desperate to hear from you. Amanda and I, we have a good relationship. You know what gets in the way of our relationship? All them doggone kids. Right? And I know you didn't force me to have them. I'm fully aware of that. And yeah, we've got cable now. We're good. I don't have to hear that after service either. But the truth is our lives are so chaotic that if we're not careful, all of a sudden 2-3 months will go by and it's like, hey, I'm CJ. What's your name? You know, and she's like, I'm Amanda, you idiot. And that's usually about how it goes. But truly, if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, easily a month will go by and we won't have had 6 minutes of meaningful conversation, right? It's all business. And this is a season of our life, and we thank God for all four of our kids most days. And we do. We think we've got a good life. We really have a very, very good life. We have a chaotic life. And the truth is that God probably gets less of our time than each other do, if I'm just being honest with you this night. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous for us. That's dangerous for you. And I know you're all looking at me like, oh, I can't believe he just said that. It's true for you, too. You just ain't got a microphone and enough lack of brains to say it out loud. You know, but how many times do you come in on Sunday morning going, oh, where's my Bible? It's still in the dash of the car where you left it last Sunday night. Right? There's a song called There Might Be a Little Dust on the Bottle. I got in a full-blown argument with Uncle Ben when I was 8 years old. I said, no, it's a little dust on the Bible. That's a Christian song. Turns out I was wrong. I should have said spoiler alert. I apologize for that. But my prayer is that we would schedule some time alone with God. We would say, God, I'm going to be intentional about some time alone with you. And I hope that you and I will be the kind of parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, orphan keepers, whatever your relationship is in the room, right? My prayer is that we will be the kind of parents who say, you know what, one day my kid's going to pick up their Bible and they're going to find some notes that say, Uncle Brian, you know, what is this, 2025? Sweet mercy, that seems impossible. That seems absolutely impossible. I remember when I was young, old people would say that about years like 95 and, you know, 2005, but they really were old. They're not young like me, so it was a different story. But I do hope that your kids, when they will find notes, maybe they'll pick up your Bible one day and say, hey, I see Daddy's handwriting here. I see Mama's handwriting. And that only happens when we're intentional about spending some time alone and chasing God and saying, God, I want to do more than just live and die. I want to do more than chase money and build up some junk for my kids to have to go through when I'm dead and gone one day. Right? I want to leave more to my kids than a bank account, which is going to be easy because they're not going to get a bank account when I die. That's not a problem. They're spending it now, so I guess they won the lottery on that one. But it works out. I've got their shoes to borrow for now. About one more year, I won't be able to borrow his shoes anymore. But I do pray that our kids will leave them more than just money, right? We'll leave them with some great memories, and they'll know Mom and Daddy loved God above all else. And I'm thankful that there are people in my life that I can say that about. Aunt Melita and Uncle Brian, neither one are perfect, right? Neither one are perfect, but I'm thankful they spent a life chasing God. Uncle Ben and Aunt Ruth Ann, I'm thankful they spent a life chasing God. And there are at least 20 other people I could mention, and I'm not going to start because I'll miss somebody. But I'm thankful for those people in my life. I'm thankful for the people in my life who said, I'm going to be real when I'm all alone. I'm going to be honest when it's just me and God. And I'm thankful for the difference they've made in my life. And I'm thankful that hopefully one day there'll be some kids behind me who will go, you know what, my dad was far from perfect. Well, maybe not all that far. Kind of far, but he loved Jesus and he tried, and that's my prayer. We're going to pray real quick and then we'll turn it over. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We do thank you for our life. We want God to be a church, a people, and individuals who chase after you, God. We want our lives to matter. Lord, money burns, Lord, it just doesn't bring the satisfaction we would hope it would, God. But time alone with you is never wasted. God, we ask you to be with us as we go our different ways this week. God, help us to take all that we've heard today and apply it. Lord, if all we did today was come and hear two good messages, that's not enough. Lord, that's not going to be enough. I hope, God, that there'll be a nugget someone grabs a hold of that helps them. In your name I pray. Amen.
Message really hit me, brother, so hard that my microphone flew off. Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you enjoy that tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Y'all forgive me. I was fine sitting there the whole time. I want to mention just a few things. And thank you, Brother CJ. I really, really enjoyed that. Where's Brantley at? Brantley back there? Yeah. I need you up here. Not tonight, but I need you up here when I preach on Sundays. I tell you, man, that is a strong, hearty amen right there. I love that. I love that. Young people did a great job with that tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. great singing tonight again. All day, great singing. Young people, so proud of you. And I want to say to Tansy, excellent job. Is the proper name violin? Let's give a round of applause for that. Is it violin or fiddle? I've heard both. Great job on that. And orchestrating the orchestra. How about that? Orchestrating the orchestra. That was wonderful, seeing those young men come in this morning with suits and ties on. And that was great. We're so proud of you, TMZ, for doing that and for playing that violin like that. Brother Brian, tremendous message this morning, as we all enjoyed it. The title I got out of that, it was much more, but what stuck with me was, maybe you will, maybe you won't. And that was excellent, brother. Thank you for that. And then Brother CJ tonight, I guess talking to yourself was one of the main things, but talk to the Lord. How true that is, man. How true that is. And I'll just say this, along with prayer time that we had before Jubilee. I was here one of the evenings as well. And I had intentions on walking through the church. I've done it before, just, you know, praying, laying my hands on the pews, things like that, as others have done. But I honestly,
I got behind the pulpit and sat down, and, you know, I stayed there. I closed my eyes, and I didn't put a timer on it. I did not want to rush it, and I stayed there. And I kid you not, I grabbed the bulletin. I started at the top, and I looked at my watch. I had my watch off sitting up here on the pulpit. I thought, man, it was probably like 10 minutes flew by. I mean, it was 45 minutes went by. I'm just saying that there's a connection in prayer. When you really, if unrushed, desired, dependent on God, needing Him, if you just do not put a timer on it and just make time to really connect with God, I'm telling you, time will fly by. You'll be strengthened. And that was just a wonderful time that I had myself personally during that time of prayer. So thank you, Brother CJ, once again for bringing this to that conclusion. I mean, really, awesome, awesome, awesome day today. We're going to be planning a baptism soon. We're going to get the baptistry fixed. Just may need a little sealant around the pipes there, or something like that. But we're going to get that fixed. And again, I appreciate so very much those who helped clean that up last night. And, of course, Brother David and the prep work he did for that. So looking forward to that. I do want to leave you with one last prayer request tonight. And it was mentioned to me just a bit ago, if I would mention it. And to be honest with you, it was on my mind. And my wife and I have been praying for this individual. But over at the children's home, the counselor, Miss Ashley Bruton, is going to be having surgery in the morning. Okay? And so I was given the green light to mention that in church tonight. I wasn't sure. But we had spoke with her earlier last week. And so she's going to have that surgery. And Lord willing, she'll be going home. But the doctor said, pack a bag just in case. So Lord willing, they'll be with us visiting here soon, her and her family. And that'd be a nice touch to see them come visit with us. All right, am I missing anything? We got it all wrapped up tonight with a bow on it, I believe. Well, everybody just have a great week this week. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And just be safe. And then Wednesday night, of course, regular service times. And then Sunday morning, Sunday night. And the good Lord willing, our technology will be back up and going. You know, what did we do before technology? You know what I mean? We made it, right? We made it. And we are certainly spoiled by it. So, all right. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, just for the awesome two services we had and all the participation from our young people, from announcements to singing to the orchestra that came by this morning. Brother B and then Brother CJ, Lord, and just their families, and how we're so very thankful that, God, you allowed my family to be engrafted in here and learn the ways of the church and the children's home. And what a significant place this combination of ministry is here. We've never experienced anything like it, and we're just so glad that we're able to be part of it. So God, we just give you all we got. Help us to just launch out into the deep, let down all of our nets. God, we're asking that you'll fill them. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you're at liberty to go.